Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
Good morning.
Good weather in Hawaii. We can't complain. Have you been watching the news? Of course, it's all different in the mainland, so I'm not complaining at all.
Oh.
No.
My goodness. Yeah.
That rain, that warm rain, you know, that a lot of people complain about here, it is just wonderful.
So. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I've got a friend visiting from the mainland, from Atlanta, where I guess it's supposed to be really, really bad.
Oh my gosh! They've shut it down practically. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's from Atlanta, and he's visiting, he's posting pictures of, you know, being on Maui and all his friends.
Probably really mad at him.
Oh, my God.
People don't like
that
when you're on the islands and they're in the suffering. You know, they're suffering and you're posting your note. That's funny.
No.
That's
funny.
They
don't like that. But anyway, he's here. He's one of the sponsors, the partners of Rich Light, of Pono Radio and Kiki Radio. And his company is called Rich Life Advisors, and he's a financial planner and actually really helping Monica and I. I just found this out that we're not too far behind. The average American these days begins actually saving for retirement at age 53.
Doesn't it make you feel? No, it makes you feel good when you finally go, wait a minute, I'm doing okay. I didn't mess up. It's all a mental thing, right? And then you start going from there. What's his website? Or he's Rich Life Advisors.
Rich Life Advisors. Yeah, richlifeadvisors.com, I think.
Okay.
And he's actually opening an office, Rich Life Maui. And the idea is help us to realize that, you know, and we all know this, and woulda, shoulda, coulda, but, you know, if you have a child, if you have a baby, and you put away $100 a month for, you know, till that child's 21, they would have $1 million when they get ready to begin their life as an adult.
Do you know that
right?
compound interest is amazing, and none of us really learn it or do anything about it. And you're right. It's amazing what that little bit going over and over and over and over again does. And, So, you know, I think they should start teaching that in first grade.
I'm telling you. I mean, kids, this needs to be pounded into kids, man, and maybe almost – you know, I don't know how you finances, because none of us do. We all kind of muddle through and learn what we parents, you know.
No, and I didn't learn about compound interest years ago either. Same thing. And, you know, when we were in school, maybe it's getting better now, they didn't teach us about finances. It was your reading, your math, your social studies, your science, you know, just completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should start. It should start, and it may be more of a prerequisite now. I don't have little ones, so I'm not privy to that, but it should be. And wow. So he's actually from Atlanta and doing this, right? In Maui is what's happening. Hmm. Is that what?
Yeah. He's from Atlanta, but he's looking to open an office on Maui and call it Rich Life Maui, and the idea of a healthy, wealthy life. You know, on purpose. So it's finances, although, as we know, a healthy financial, you know, life leads to healthy other lives. I mean, obviously, but so that's kind of the idea there. And he's very, very helpful. Like I say, he's been helping Monica and I personally because I'm sick. I'm 3 years even behind that curve in terms of. But he said that most Americans start saving at 53 for retirement because they've spent their whole life getting their kids through college and paying for kids stuff and living with very little extra to save, and now you're like 53 going, wow, I got
it. It makes
gotta
sense. Like, yeah, you know, that thing when you hit, that thing when you do hit 50, you start to go, oh, wow, this is like the real deal. Oh, wow, it's 20 more years is going to come pretty fast. It kind of wakes you up a little bit, and you're a lot wiser. You know, I've noticed, now that I can say I'm 52, it definitely is a turning point. So that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. So fantastic. I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, today, our first half of the show, we're going to discuss different ways to take title when you buy property. A lot of people, many people, you know, get advised, of course, by the title company, escrow companies, attorneys, but it's very easy to not ask for the advice and take title in the wrong way, and then, God forbid, you pass away, which we don't know when we all are going to go. You have a divorce. You have a business breakup. All kinds of different things. And if you're if you didn't have the property titled properly, you can be in for a big surprise. So it's always really important to take title the right way. And then on the second half of the show, what are we doing?
We have Jory Nunez is joining us. She's written a book titled Chocolate Flowers, and this is going to be interesting conversation because it's about her journey of healing being molested. So it's going to be a little bit of a, you know, we love to add value in the second half, and this is going to be, you know, a little bit of a, and I think more of an issue I think we're going to find out than people really let on. And so her journey to, helping others who've been victims be more open to sharing and, getting healing. And because one of our favorite sayings, healing and hiding, you know, whether it's whatever you're working on, if you hide and just kind of forget about it, it just doesn't go away and it affects your life. But if you can get it out there and begin to get healing and kind of identify some things. So,
well, I love it. I love it. I love it. That ties in with everything.
A friend of a friend who's in radio, and they recommended her, said she's amazing, and the book is really powerful, and it's helping in California where she's looking forward to that in the second half. Absolutely.
Fantastic, fantastic. I'm thrilled. And I can't wait. We're going to be starting the itistimetoheal.com. Very shortly. And people can, if anybody's listening, people want to get in and they can just discuss their issues. It's all, you know, anonymous. They don't have to give their name. They can just say where they're from, et cetera, you know, and it's going to be pretty cool. Along the same lines, too, because we all do. And it's funny, you get to a point, you're like, I want to heal. I don't want to keep going backwards, you know, and it's pretty much an ongoing journey, right? Ongoing journey.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
by the way,
so we're going to go.
Let me just say real quick. Can I just jump in? I know we've got a bit of a delay. I'm sorry. I want to just jump in and congratulate you. I popped on our Blog Talk Radio page this morning, and you are officially a featured show with Blog Talk Radio Network.
How did that happen?
And that's a pretty big deal. It has to do, I think, there's a lot of analytics that go into it. But they have a rating system, and I guess to your point of sticking, we've shown that there's enough listeners over the time that they have tagged that little. If you go to blogtalkradio.com/realtyuniversal, you will see the little featured ribbon right there by your picture, and that means we are officially a featured show. Meaning they promote it now even more so than they have. So anyway, congratulations to you.
Thank you very much. I hope I don't have much. I'm on a regular landline today, so hopefully it's not going to have much of a delay. still working through that, huh? So.
Well, it sounds good. No, I think there's always a delay with Blog Talk because we're I'm calling in on Skype, so it's running through their processing. But I listened last week, and it was very clear. So I think we're over that hurdle, Lord willing.
Fantastic, fantastic. I'm glad to hear. Okay, so different ways that you can hold title in real estate. There's, I'm going to run through the list and then, you know, explain how it affects you in, you know, when, if you want to, if you're dissolving it in the future, if you're leaving it to family, et cetera. One way, of course, is sole ownership, where you're the sole owner and you're taking title as in just your name alone. You're the only one that owns it. Another way is joint tenancy with right of survivorship. And that's where, say, you buy a property with one other person, and the way you take title is if they die, you get the entire property. If you die, they get the entire property. So it's called joint tenancy with right of survivorship. The other party, it's turned over to the next person. Tenancy in common is another way, which you see a lot of people doing it. It takes two or more people, and tenancy in common is where, say, you and I bought a property, and you, I wanted to own 60%, and you were going to own 40%. That, or even if we took it as 50-50, you would own it and I would own it, but if something happened to me and I passed away, you would not necessarily get that property. My family would get the property, or whoever I have in my will or my right of survivorship, my heirs, would get the property. So this is something I want to go into detail a little bit after we go through the list, because a lot of people don't realize what they may be involved in when they're getting in just tenancy in common. Then you have community property. Few states offer community property. It's like a form of joint tenancy, but it's like a form of it, but it's not. It's I think there's about, gosh, what is it? 9 states that do community property. Husband and wife will each own half of the property, and then they can will their half to somebody else. Another way is tenancy by the entirety, which is only offered if you're married. And tenancy by the entirety is if you're husband and wife, and then one partner, one spouse passes away, the property goes to the other. So it's similar to joint tenancy because the right of survivorship goes to the other party. So you really definitely want to get legal advice in how you want to take title, because case in point, a lot of people these days aren't getting married. I don't agree with it, but you know, it's everybody's business to do what they want to do. And say they go in and they buy a property and they both split the property and they think we own the property 50-50, right? And they say, I want, if something happens to me, I want you to get it. If something happens to you, I want, you know, I should get it. And they never really take title property properly. They take it as tenants in common. Well, I hate to say this, but their wishes are going to be messed up when they die, even if they didn't get the legal advice. Because if they took it as tenants in common, then up to 50% or whatever percent was that can be proven that they put in is going to go to their heirs. And that may not be the person's wishes, right, if somebody bought a property with their partner. So really, really important. And in that capacity, if somebody's not married, they should take it as joint tenants. Joint tenants would give them the ability to turn that property over to their partner if something happens to them. So it's really important because so many people, it's funny how you find many, many people don't have wills, and we should all have a will. It's even better to go a step further and have a trust so you can avoid probate. But you'd be amazed. And all of us, I mean, I can say for myself, I have to change some things in my, you know, I changed some insurance when my brother died, but I didn't change other things that I need to change. You know, a lot of us get busy and don't go and change maybe the trust or don't update the will, or, you know, there's so many things that come up that we get busy that we just put it on the back burner. And it happens constantly. So you really want to make sure your wishes are moving forward. You also have to protect yourself if you're in business or other things. There's other ways to protect your assets. And we won't get into LLCs and other parts of this because this today our show, the first half, is specifically in taking title. But it's just really important to make sure. Don't just go read the contract and then they say, well, do you want to do, which way do you want to do? Oh, I've heard tenancy in common is good. We'll just do that. And don't just assume. You want to make sure that what you're doing is set up for what you want. Now, a lot of people may be offered joint tenants if they're not married, and they don't realize, and they really do want 50% of that property to go to their kids if something happens, and they just turned it over to their partner without realizing it. You know, so very important just to get the legal advice and understand exactly which each form of take ownership means and how it affects you later.
Yeah.
Because just like you mentioned, even with retirement, so many people aren't doing what they need to do till they're 53. There's something about life when it comes to the details of a lot of that planning. You know, life takes over, and it's so easy to just go, okay, do it this way, do it this way. And I've seen a lot of people in my career, because I end up dealing with many people, with the home ownership, buying, selling, people passing away. And I've seen so many situations where somebody thought they were leaving it this way and it turned out another way. Or, you know, one document wasn't done properly in what they did. And lots of times there's many different laws, too, in different states. So you may think you did it one way and you may be in a community property state and all of a sudden found out, nobody, you know, that's not the way it works. So... just important real estate tidbit stuff that we do on our first half of the show. And
yeah.
I would imagine,
wow.
Okay, you and Monica, your property in California, I would assume that you have it as tenants by the entirety. And do you know which way you have it in title?
We both own, yeah, whatever. We're both owners. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, but you're both owners, right? But do you know if it says tenants by the entirety because you're married, or if it says tenants in common or joint tenancy? You know, that's where you want to make sure it's done right. See?
Yikes. See, now I've got to worry about something else today.
No, it's not worrying about anything else. And you know with Monica and you it goes the right way. No, but it's just funny because those are one of those things that we should know. You know, we should definitely know when it comes to our assets, how it was set up, how we took it out. You know, and most people don't. That's why I asked you the question. That's why, you know, I asked you and yourself. Of course, you know, you're happily married. You know, it's going to go the right way. That doesn't matter, though. Was it titled the right way? You know, so it's pretty interesting.
Mm.
And you don't want, even for creditors' purposes, if you do it tenants by the entirety, and somebody, one spouse has to file bankruptcy, they can't take your house away if it's tenants by the entirety and they're on there. See, but if you had it as tenants in common, they could force you to sell part of it and take that for the assets. So it's a pretty simple, but not simple when you get into like, whoops, I made a mistake, you know. So that's
wow, man. That goes back. We always circle back around to why there's such a need for somebody like you, who knows, you know, their way around this stuff. Because I think everybody fancies themselves. You know, hell, we jump on Google and we can become experts, you know, but man, I had no idea, you know, that there was that there were those three options, you know, in the title for us. So now I've got to find that out. Where do I find that out?
That's a great question. You pull out your deed and title, your deed or title, you know, and it should state right in there how your ownership is taken. If you don't have access to it, you could call the title escrow company that you used, and they should have a copy of it in the file. But depending on how long ago you bought it, I don't know how long they keep the files in each company respectively. I know some that keep them for years and years. Some go by the laws and just delete after they legally can. So yeah, it's going to be on it's going to be written right into your deed. Which is really good to go look it up. Go look it up and go see it because you never know. You know, I can't stress it enough. And then since we are on the show today and this ties in, if you don't have a will, go get a will. It's always better to tie your will into a trust trust is going to be able to be set up a certain way to avoid probate and go through that long process, you know. So very, very important. And then there's a lot of people out there that go, I'm not leaving my relatives anything, nothing, 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 nothing. Well, in many states, if you don't leave them at least a dollar, they can contest it, right? So you really need to know what you're doing and be really careful. Yeah. So you know how so much stuff doesn't really matter until something major happens, and then all of a sudden you go,
jump ball for the assets among the family, and let the chaos begin. You know, you're right. It's sad to watch that happen. You know, so you've got me thinking here. I don't even know where my paperwork and all that stuff. I'm sure it's in a box in the garage somewhere.
Well, now you could go right to the public when you're back in Chico, or you could maybe be able to go online. Some of the public records are online, and you'll be able to find your deed online. So you could actually to start. If you remember what attorney or escrow company or title company did your settlement, did your closing. Mm-hmm. You could call them and say, I have property address at such and such such. We closed whenever, approximately a month and year. This is my name. Would you have it on file? I'm trying to get a copy of my deed.
Okay.
They may or may not.
Okay.
But they should. A lot of them do. A lot of them really keep that for a long time. If not there, you can also call the county, city that you live in there and say, I need to get a copy of my deed. How do I get it? So it may not be where you physically have to go in. They may be able to send you somewhere online. You may be able to pay a small copy fee and get it. So there's several ways to get it. If you don't have it, don't know where your important paper box is at the time for that.
So
it is good to check it out because 9 times out of 10 you all did it by tenants by the entirety. But say you did it tenants in common, and you guys have the best marriage. You're fine. You've got wonderful children. I mean, you don't have anything to worry about in the department of, oh, my gosh, somebody's going to do something wrong that way. But what if there's a credit issue or something comes up that you just – it's out of your control, and all of a sudden – I'm saying you and anybody, but I'm talking to the audience, right? But you and I are having the conversation.
Yeah.
And something comes in out of your control – And then all of a sudden, ooh, it's tenants by the entirety. I mean, tenants by the common. We're attaching his property, 50 part of his property. See, so you just want to make sure that you've got it covered, totally covered.
Yeah.
And you have different states have different rules that can block it out. But it's really, you know, when you have somebody say, don't worry about it here, don't worry about it there. And of course, you don't want to be worried. The point of doing these things. And dotting your I's and crossing your T's is so that you're not worried, you know, that you have your peace and you're covering yourself as much as you can, and then you're enjoying life. So, and again, there's different states have different laws, too, which affect all of us. So.
Wow. Boy, we learn a lot, again, as always, this first half hour, just real life stuff. I mean, I think... anybody like us who's been, we've owned our home for whatever it's been now, 15 years, and like you say, I some of this stuff's probably good to go back. Oh, I know what I was going to ask is you said when you're talking about title and deed, it sounded sort of like they were being used interchangeably, and this is me asking.
Oh, yeah, same. I mean, it's written, right, the deed of trust. The way the title's taken, you know, so it's the same. Yeah, it is interchangeable, depending on what state and where you, Well, you want a copy of your deed. There's a mortgage note.
Okay.
If you have a loan, there's going to be a mortgage note, and it's actually the deed that's going to spell out the way ownership is done. But you can say, you know, title or trust. Title or deed. They know what you're talking about that way, and you just want to. Do you want to make sure ownership spelled out properly, and it's easily fixable if it wasn't done properly? So that's a good thing. So keep it there and get it. Get it in place. Yep.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Go from there. So if anybody has any questions, of course, they can call in right now or they can go to realtyuniversal.com, go to our website and ask questions.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. Coming up here in just a few minutes is Jory Nunez, and we're, as always, going to be talking about, a topic of healing, of moving beyond things that, you know, tend to hinder us, which is always in some form or fashion what we talk about in the second half hour. And so she's going to be talking about a book she wrote called Chocolate Flowers, and it's healing from molestation. And so, again, just a warning for those of you parents who may be, you know, maybe listening a show or a podcast, you know, the archived version, you might be somewhere where there are kids around, just kind of a heads up. Some things that maybe, obviously they need to hear it from you as a parent, but some of the conversation may, I've been around, they've heard stories and then they get it kind of locked in their brain and it starts the fear thing, and we don't want to do that. Absolutely not. So,
no, I mean, there's all kinds of things, yeah. That's excellent.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll be back on the other side with Jory.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you. After consulting with the experts, we set you up to win.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
How do I get off of the I think I'll do it to the do it stage? You see, many people, their life is something like this. Ready, aim, 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 aim. They never fire. They never shoot. They never execute. Now, let me just also say there are some people that's like, ready, fire, aim. And, you know, they don't execute either. They just shoot somebody accidentally. Execute means that there's a ready, preparation, aim, get your target, but then you shoot. The greatest gap in the world is the gap between knowing and doing.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com. It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
When I was in college in Psych 101 as a freshman, we took a test to determine our creativity. There were 17 in the class, and I remember it well because I finished at the bottom of the class. Here's what I did that really sparked the creativity of my life. I began reading, and I began filing. Somebody else's idea helped me to create an idea, and before long, I began to sense that there was creativity within me. I just realized that I had to, in the beginning, borrow it from others and then build on it. Oh, I love that. Borrow it and then build on it. So if you look at yourself not as a creative person, you can't be any worse than me. I was at the bottom of a class. 60 books later, I've learned to be creative, but it was a learned art in my life. So go inside. It's there. Pull it out.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com.
And welcome back again to Realty Universal Radio on the air everywhere. Randy Zachary broadcasting from the Maui Dive Shop corporate offices on the island of Maui in the state of Hawaii, where, Maui's kind of a state of mind, and we won't go into that. We do feel a little guilty as we talk about, you know, all the weather going on everywhere else. But Max with us. She's over on that other island over there on Oahu. And Jory Nunez joins us from California. from, I believe, Central California. And as we love to do in the second half, we love to bring value, to share stories of overcoming, to share stories of healing, all of the above. And we've done that, you know, over 2 years now in multiple ways. I just think back to the amazing guests we've had on in the second half hour who've brought value, and this is going to continue to be that kind of a segment, because Jory Nunez has written a book called Chocolate Flowers, and it's a book that really the goal is to bring about awareness about child abuse and sexual molestation. And so, as they say on Focus on the Family, if you've got kids around, you might have them watch some cartoons or something. obviously, this is something that needs to be talked about. But some of you're kind of around a radio show or TV show without really talking about it. It can be fearful and whatnot. So we don't want to do that. But the idea right here is to bring awareness and to really dive in. So, Jory, to the show.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful show. I really appreciate being a guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we want to dive in and give you as much time as possible. What we find around topics like this, and I can tell, having done 35 years of radio, just in our little in the room commercial break, that you're going to be amazing. So next time. As possible. So this book, Chocolate Flowers, again, written specifically to raise awareness about child abuse and sexual molestation. And I guess let's kind of begin with why you wrote the book, and we'll kind of, obviously, we always want to weigh in, you know, things for people about towards the end, but I really want to spend the bulk of the beginning of our time together around your story and why you wrote this book, Chocolate. So why don't you begin there?
Okay, sure. The reason I wrote this book was because there are not a lot of books out there that people have resources to that talk about real-life situations. First of all, we do lie to our children when we just tell them about stranger danger, because, in fact, only 5% of children who are molested from strangers. So 95%, yeah,
true.
Right. So 95% of the time, it's somebody the child grows to love. It could be a parent, unfortunately. That was my experience. But it also can be an uncle, a friend, a boyfriend, girlfriend. I don't know if people are even aware that 10% of registered pedophiles are female. You know,
no way. I had no idea.
See, and that's why I wrote the book, because it is called A Twisted Tale for a reason, and it's because it is meant to shock you. It is a little bit scary. They're saying it's like Flowers in the Attic, only a little more twisted, because this is my past. This is what happened to me. This is what happened to a few other victims that I interviewed, and I interviewed hundreds of pedophiles from Megan's Law in a 20-year period. I had to understand this topic. There was something inside of me that said, I need to write a book. I need to know who these people are, why they do this, and I want to protect our children, because we are putting our children right in the hands of these people, and they gain our trust so much that we trust them and we don't believe it when our children come to us and tell us that these people did this, because they are such good people. They're such master manipulators. They know how to gain our trust, and they know how to get to your child.
Wow.
They prep them. Yeah, they buy gifts. They take them on outings. They are the nicest people you ever met. But yet those are the people who do this. And you would never believe by looking at them.
I'm so shocked to hear that men, women, because I know historically I just always assumed it was 90-some percent men. I really did. Wow.
I know, and I'm sorry to tell you, my mother was my molester. She did have a mental illness. She had multiple personality disorders. She was diagnosed later in life with 8 personalities, and she did tell my family she had a dark personality that she wouldn't speak about. And I did let my family know about this, although my stepfather finds it very ridiculous to think that that was her dark side. And it is hard for people to believe
that it is very, very.
But here's the scary thing. My mother was loved by the community. She volunteered for hospice. She babysat children. She groomed dogs. I mean, she did all these things for the community. People loved her. And the reason I had to write this book was because I wanted people to know you just can't trust people. And it's not everybody, but you need to be aware, because my mom did things to these children. She did things to animals.
It wasn't just you.
No, it wasn't. But she didn't do it to everybody. These people don't. People think that they they did it to you. Why didn't they do it to me or my or some so and so?
Right.
But it's not like that. It's not like that. You have to believe your child, because children do not lie about this topic.
Mm-mm.
And the problem is we don't talk to our children about this because it's so unspeakable, and we don't want to believe it happens, but unfortunately it does. I mean, we live in a really nice neighborhood, and I grew up in San Ramon, and which is a wonderful community, and, you know, people who say they have money live there, and we lived there. We had a nice home. My parents were well-respected. It does happen in those homes, and people just think of it as like this place where only welfare recipients and people who are on drugs do these things, and it's not true at all. As a matter of fact...
Wow. No, go ahead. And, you know, I think I've had it with myself. I was molested more than once, and it was all male-related. And I would validate maybe why they did it, why this, why that. You know, we have this, as a kid, we just don't, it's very hard to believe that people could be these types of people. And it's just very sad. Is your mom still alive?
That's the thing. My mom died 2 years ago, and she named my book. Right before she passed away, we had this conversation, and it's in the introduction of the book about why it was called Chocolate Flowers. My mom does know. We did talk about this. She knew I was writing this book.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
That's so phenomenally wonderful that she knew, and she knew it needed to be out there because I guess this really, truly is an illness. It's not like the people that do these things can help themselves.
No.
Wow.
I do think that you'd be surprised, though, when I went door knocking to pedophiles' houses, I just became obsessed with doing this in the last 20 years because it's something that once it's happened to my own child, which we will get up to, I decided I needed to know because this is such a huge crisis that people don't want to think about it, but they have to.
Right.
You know, I don't want to be here talking about this. I wish I didn't have to write the book. But unfortunately, we have to be aware because these people knocking at their doors were some of the best looking, nicest, cleanest, most well-respected professional people. Mm. And they were also the opposite. They were druggy looking and also horrific looking. But they were all sorts of genders and ages. And, you know, you really just cannot judge a person by who they are. You can't see what's deep inside them and their desire for children. You don't know that.
We run out of time so fast, so I really want to be quiet and let you talk because this is so interesting, but I do have a question I want to put out there. Can these people get help? Can they stop? Or are we saying now still that there's still no cure for this?
I really don't personally think there is a cure for it. Other than being aware to protect your own children, I do think that when we do find out that somebody does this, we do have to turn them in because they do need the treatment. And they will lie, and they will say that they didn't mean to do it. They'll make every excuse up in the book. They'll try to turn the victim into the person who caused the issues, like what they wore, what they said, what they did. But really, it's the person who does the act that is responsible, and they need to be held responsible. And when you don't turn the person in, it only makes things worse for your child.
Wow.
And the person does need treatment. I don't think there is a cure. I can't tell you how many pedophiles have reached out to me on different places like Facebook and just Googled me, and I own a real estate business, so I'm not, you know, an unsuccessful person. I didn't need to do this for the money like some people may in my family may think. But
you're in real estate? You're in real estate?
Yeah, I'm a real estate broker. I own a business.
Oh, my God, we have to meet. That's so funny. Okay.
But, yeah, no, I mean, it has nothing to do with who I am.
Right.
It's just what happened to me and the knowledge I've learned and gained. I did want to talk about my son. Do we have time for that?
Totally. I'm not going to talk anymore. It's all yours.
Okay. Well, after growing up the way I did and being removed from my home because of my parents who had mental illness, and I do want to state that my stepfather never touched me, okay, so he has nothing to do with this. Yeah, no, he was wonderful. He just wasn't around. He didn't know. So moving on, I did go into a program where I was moved, placed into a family, a Mormon family took care of me, and I learned what a family value was like, what learned how to function, learned who I wanted to be as an adult, and that was huge for me to not repeat this with my own children. And I had gotten pregnant at 18, which is very typical for women who are abused to just out of wedlock have children and be promiscuous. And I did that myself, and I had a beautiful baby boy. And when he was 5 years old, I decided to put him in daycare. Couldn't really afford it, but this really wonderful man in our neighborhood who was our maintenance man said he would watch him at night when I was cocktail waitressing to help me out, because he never had children. He wasn't married. He always wanted kids. And he was just this man who saved us from, you know, he was going to give my son the father figure that he always needed. And I thought that was great, especially the price. He was charging me $20 a night, which was at that time very reasonable, and he would take me to McDonald's and buy him gifts, and it was wonderful. But unfortunately for me, I didn't notice the red flags. This person also did molest my son, and he was a man. And we don't think about those things. My son was sick. He tried to tell me. I told him he was lying. I took away his toys. I said, I'll use the word, I named it the guy in the book, Tim. I said, Tim would never do that. He pays taxes. He has a great job. Everyone loves him. He's good looking. He goes to church. He wouldn't do that. Well, weeks later, my son couldn't urinate, and I had to take him to the emergency room to find out he had a sexually transmitted disease.
Oh, my God.
So imagine the guilt I felt. And so that's why I had to write this book, because I wanted people to have a clear understanding. And I think that as hard as the book is to read, I've been told people can't put the book down, and they're reading it within one or two sittings.
How old was your son when that happened?
He was 6 years old. He's now 25. And I'll tell you what, we moved from the Bay Area out into the Valley, which was a few hours away. We changed our names, our identity, and everything. He started junior high in a new town with a new identity to get away from the guy when he was getting out of jail. And my son was told not to speak about it, to forget it happened, and that was another worst mistake I ever made. My son recovered because there was a play at his school where they talked about rape and assault and molest, and he wanted to share his story. So he got up in front of the entire high school and told the whole story of what happened to him. And when I found this out, I was terrified. I said, oh, my gosh, we're going to have to move again. We're going to have to change who we are. But guess what? He became so popular. He became captain of the football team. His grades went up. He got honor roll. He was on honor roll. His best friend was Valley Victorian. He became captain of the football team. Our lives changed because he told. And that's why I wrote
that's
the book. I want people to speak about it and tell.
Wow. That's
and if I
fantastic.
Could tell my story, trust me, you can tell yours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't want to interrupt. I did a radio show about it. I have a copy of back in 2007. I did it live here in Hawaii, and I had a psychologist on from the mainland, and I was saying things through the show hoping that somebody that was a molester would know they could try to get help, right? You know how you don't want to try
to...
Yeah,
they do try. They do.
But it's right, but it was like we didn't have anybody call in at the time, but it's just so difficult to I've got all the emotions, I've been there, done it, you know, went through all this stuff, and you always wonder, you know, it's crazy because the people that you could love that much could do that to you, and it's just such a violation. But the black and white it does to us as we grow up, and I think your book's going to be heaven to people, because not talking about it does make us probably close down, be more black and white, not trust people, be really, you know, a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
You have to trust people. I mean, not everyone's going to do this. I certainly won't do that because I'm aware of it I would make the extra effort to avoid that. But I also wrote the book because I wanted people to know the devastating effects of being molested. And I've had pedophiles read my book, and I've had them reach out to me and tell me that this changed them, that they want to seek therapy, that they want to get help. They didn't realize the harm they were doing to children because they didn't think of it that way. They thought of it as a sexual gratification for them, yes, but they didn't realize the devastating effects. Well, they were raised like that themselves, most of them, and so they didn't realize they just, it's something that they think of as a sexual thing because that's how they were treated. Most of them, when they were growing up, they were sexually abused that way. So for them, they get excited to think of that, and that's how they,
right,
that's what they want when they're like that. So, you know, they just don't know because they didn't have that experience I had where someone else took me in their home and showed me that that's not the way we raise our children. That's not the way we are with our children. When we love them, we don't do that. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's not a way to show love.
Wow. How does everybody how does everybody find you, get the book? Is there a website? I mean, how do they get more information?
The book just came out. It keeps selling out, which I feel so blessed. I know, because I know, I thought, well, who's going to wake up in the morning and say, I think I'll read a book about children being molested, right? Who does that? But the truth is I wrote it in such a way that it's a book that people don't want to put down. Everybody who has read it has told me, you know, they feel like it's that I'm the angel, or they feel like it's a gift to the world. And I mean, they get so emotional about it. And it is amazing. I'm very blessed with that. I've been told by the Stanislaus County of Child Abuse Prevention that it is incredible. And I've been having nothing but positive praise about the book. And it just came out, like, literally weeks ago. I've sold over 500 copies. It is a self-published book, so that is amazing in itself. I'm hoping to be picked up eventually by another publisher that can endorse the book and place in the fields where it needs to be. I'm being told by teenagers they absolutely love it. That was my biggest fear, was that teenagers were going to read this book and be like, whoa, read this. This is really trippy. But the truth is, I guess it doesn't hurt for them to read it, but I just don't like the idea myself.
Yeah, but it's a fan. Well, how does it? Is there a website?
So Amazon.
Amazon. Okay, good.
It's on Amazon. It just went on Kindle the other day. I don't know what these things are. Okay, Barnes and Noble. I guess it's on eBook, Nook. All that stuff. And then it's going in bookstores not till April. April's Child Abuse Awareness Month. So
God.
It's just pre-sales, and then it's going into bookstores in April. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thrilled.
Wow.
A portion of the proceeds go to, actually a very large portion of the proceeds go to different programs that help children. One of the programs I'm donating a portion of the proceeds to is called the Lisa Project, and that's a unique exhibit. It's like a scientific exhibit about child abuse. You put on headphones, you walk around from room to room, and you hear these true stories that have happened in California from abused children. And I want to fund that. And it was another program called Danielle's Gift, which pays out-of-pocket medical expenses for children that have had crimes or that have medical issues.
Wow.
So,
and you're here on Oahu?
No, actually, I'm sorry, what?
Are you on Oahu or are you on the mainland?
No, I'm not. I'm in California. California, yes.
Wow.
And I am hoping, to do some book signing tours and things like that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Is the website chocolateflowers.com or .org? Do you have the website?
I don't even have a website. That's so horrible. I'm just a mom. I'm just a – I'm nobody.
No, it's not horrible at all.
I am on Facebook.
Okay.
I do have a Chocolate Flowers page on Facebook, and my name's Jory Nunes. They can even friend me there. I am here. I get messages. Several messages a day and hear lots of stories, and I'm very happy to reply, you know, at my first possibility I have, because this is huge for me to help and get other people to tell their story as well.
Wow. Now, Joy, we have a lot of people that listen to our archives because people love to download and listen to when they can, and we have a lot of listeners. So could you spell your last name for us?
Sure. Well, my first name's very unique, too. It's J-O-R-I. The last name is Nunes, N-U-N-E-S. And the book is Chocolate Flowers, A Twisted Tale That Deserves to Be Told.
Wow, I love it. I love it. Wow.
Well, you'll love the introduction. So you can go on Amazon and read the introduction and the first few chapters.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Hey, you've obviously done some radio because you're pretty good at this.
No, I haven't. I'm just a girl from California that had a story to tell. More special than anyone else. This is just was my life. I couldn't escape the dreams and the passion to do this.
And I think that's God-given, and that's God-given, and that was part of your destiny, and that's why you're so, you know, it's just going to take off miraculously. And your mom's probably helping, too, as well, literally.
I totally feel like my mom. was right on my shoulder while I wrote it. I would always do the sign of the cross, light a candle, and pray to God, please guide me through this and make this book something that will help others, because I don't want them to have the nightmare that I have or the guilt.
You know, Jory, Natalie has been talking, you know, a big dream of ours that I think is going to come out of this show that we've done, and she's, we've a couple of years now where the first half we talk real estate, second half we kind of talk about inspiration, motivation, and healing, and really what's come out of that from her story and mine is a desire to do a show on letting the healing begin, you know, and whatever that is for you. So, you know, it's time to heal kind of idea. And because so many people are literally in prison because of one, you know, event or another in their lives that has just got them locked in this, you know, emotional prison. And so obviously what your story is all about just falls so in line with that. And I was thinking this morning, you know, it'd be interesting to, and I'm always thinking about radio and what would be an interesting radio show, but it would be interesting to really, super pre-promote either a call-in show like this on Blog Talk Radio or even a Google Hangout nowadays where you can jump on the video deal and, you know, we can all be on this, you know, Google Hangout video. It's essentially an online TV show. And then have people, you know, maybe email, you know, or call in with questions or, you know, just allow them to share maybe their story and ask you. You know, I just see some real potential and possibilities in taking your story to another level in terms of media.
Well, let me tell you, you have to tell your story. Before I wrote my book, I planned my suicide. I wrote letters to my children, and I thought my last word was going to be my book because I was so angry at the world. But let me tell you what happened after I was finished with the book. It was a huge release. And my depression and my anger left me, and I'm here and I'm healing because I wrote the book. I never expected that. And
because
I really
you got
think
it out.
Very,
you got
yes.
It out. Yep. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And, you know, there are people who think I'm full of beans and that I'm crazy, and that's okay. Yeah, exactly. Let them deal with God. They're not God. They can't judge me. And, you know, I'm okay with it. You know, if you don't want to listen to it, don't listen to it. I'm really sorry. I hope it never happens to you. You know, so what else can you say?
You're amazing. You're absolutely amazing. As Randy was mentioning before, we had, I mean, I had the molestation, the abuse, dysfunction, the physical, the mental, you know, all these different things. You're like, oh, my gosh, you know, and you run into a lot of people that have had it, and then you see how they start doing in their lives, you know, whether they're just too high achievers because everything's black and white or whether they're this or this. And I've lived it, and Randy knows. We've known each other for a long time. I'm like, this has to get out. And it's so funny that you're in real estate because I've been in real estate for 27 years. And
well,
I
the year
saying,
before – oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You kept saying, oh, well, the year before I wrote the book, I sold 44 homes. I mean, it wasn't like I decided, okay, let's see, I don't need any more money. I'm going to quit and write my book.
Oh, exactly.
I just decided I had to do this.
Right.
I had
Rand, I've been in 27 years, and I used to say, pray to God, and always did lots and lots of sales. I mean, lots and lots from day one, you know. And I literally would go, dear God, in the late 90s, I want to do this self-help. I want to help people. Why is it real estate? Finally, I learned that real estate is a vehicle. We come in contact with a lot of people, plus it gives us the funding to do the other we need to do. And Randy's heard it over and over and over. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. You know that, Randy, right? So we started the show half and half. Friends of mine felt well-known speakers, Natalie, you can't do half and half. It's got to be real estate. It's got to be something. Watch me. And we're doing it. My heart just, it's so needed, you know, and it's amazing when I listen to you, what you're doing. My hat's off to you. You're just going to change. Mm-hmm. One person can change the world. One person can make such a difference in this world, and you're doing it. So,
yeah, and you know what? I don't feel like it's me at all. It's God, and he just used me because I was at the brink of disaster, and he said, you know what? You are going to do this, and you don't have a choice. So I did. I isolated myself for about a year, and I wrote the book.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, well, my mom was crazy, too, so there's lots of stuff in the book. It's not all about molest. It's about dealing with a parent who's also mentally ill. Like, she had to put locks on my sister and my doors because she kept having these reoccurring dreams that she was going to get a knife and kill us while we were sleeping. You know, so it's stuff like that. So it's stuff like that in the book, too. It's the stuff that kids are tormented from, not just sexually, but mentally, and just dealing with that. And it's helped a lot of people. They're like, wow, you described my mother. I'm like, really? I didn't know there were so many people out there suffering internally with being raised like this. So.
Oh, that's wonderful. Just, wow. Wow. I'm going to Facebook you if that's okay, because I want to stay in touch with you and I want to get this stuff going, because this is amazing.
I would love to be included on anything I can do, because I'm here for those people who feel like they can't sleep at night and they have these recurring nightmares, dreams, and they need to just let it go. That's God's way of saying talk, speak, you know, tell your story. You'd be amazed how many people have they're busy and they got to go when you start telling them.
Do you hear it. You know, the feelings and the pain and the stuff, the black and the white, the intimidation, the not trust, the maybe feeling great, you achieve, and then you feel less than, all these things that go along with all this stuff that happens to you when you've been molested or abused, et cetera. Do you, from sharing it and going and going and putting it out there to serve, can you really feel the difference in the peace in your life? Can you really feel yes? Okay, good.
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, even while I wrote it, I was suicidal. I was depressed. You'll see in the book, it's a very sad book. And a lot of people say they cry through the whole book. But when I got the book, I had no feelings. I was still down. And once I got the first published copy, I went to a restaurant and we were celebrating. I held the book in my hands and I cried from every pore of my body. I just had this release. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. Not only was I crying like waterfalls, but my pores were just, I was a sweaty mess. My hair was soaking wet and people were coming up to me, what's wrong, what's wrong? I said, I'm healed. I'm good. I'm happy. Don't worry. I'm okay. And I had no control over it. It was an internal emotional thing that came out, and I was healed. I really was. And I am – you never get over it. You still get the triggers. You still get upset and worried and stuff, but I'm okay with it.
Mm.
I'm okay.
Fantastic. Wow.
And I'm not suicidal. Sorry. I'm not suicidal. Yeah. And I am seeking treatment, and I'm helping others, and, you know, that's what you have to do.
It's a lifelong journey, though, because things happen in our life, and then we go forward, and all of a sudden we could take so many steps backward. But when we're aware, I think it makes a huge difference, because we can start to go, wait a minute. And God, you know, Randy and I talk about God constantly. I don't believe without God we can do it. And,
right.
Oh, gosh, I'm so excited. I want to find out more. I'm going to get the book.
No accidents. Yeah. There's no accidents. And I just think this is a divine connection with you two specifically. And Jory Nunes, again, Amazon, check it out. The book is there. And then also, of course, she's on Facebook, Jorinunes. And Google her and or Chocolate Flowers, and you'll be able to find the book. And Jory, thank you for, again, this story.
Thank you.
It's so inspiring. And thank you for all that you're doing.
Thank you. Our time goes by so fast, unfortunately.
Yeah, I could just talk and talk all day.
I know. We've got to do this again. We've got to have you back on, and maybe we'll just do a whole hour. We'll just skip the real estate first part, right? We'll just skip it.
I want to leave this with don't be afraid to talk to your children. Every day I ask my son, is there anything you want to talk to me about today? There's nothing wrong with saying that and listen. Okay, it just takes 5 minutes.
Absolutely. That sounds fantastic.
That's good.
Thank you for coming on
so much.
And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Me too. Tell the world.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.